There will be consequences.
And this culture or code of not grassing, we are way beyond that now.
They're all turning on each other. This ends before it begins.
Revenge runs in the family.
I go down, you go down.
Blood for blood.
Put them down.
We've been in danger before.
But this is different, Rory. Look at me. This is different.
Sherwood, Series 2.
It's on a knife edge out there.
Starts Sunday on BBC iPlayer.
And Sherwood's writer, James Graham, is delivering this year's MacTaggart Lecture at the Edinburgh TV Festival, and he'll be talking to Front Row this evening, when he'll also expand on his concerns that TV has a problem with working class representation both in front of and behind the screen. Front Row, live from Edinburgh, is at 7.15. But now on Radio 4, hung up about his love life, Ian Smith takes to the stage.
Hello and welcome to Ian Smith is Stressed, a comedy show all about stress and my misguided attempts at relaxation. It's time to put the kettle on, fill up a hot water bottle, drop a tea bag into the hot water bottle, and then your choice of milk and sugar, and finally start looking for a new job because you've just been sacked from Starbucks. If you're expecting helpful tips to de-stress, you might want to turn off now, as when I try and relax, I end up feeling more stressed. But I welcome you to use me as a canary down the mine of stress, simply avoiding all the things I do wrong. Incidentally, imagine how stressful a job it is being a canary in a coal mine. You're sitting there, worried about your job performance, knowing the only way you can prove you've done a good job is to die. Some people just aren't good at chilling out. For every person who's relaxing in a candlelit bath with lavender bath salts, there's someone else who's been pressured into buying a bath bomb by the over-enthusiastic staff at Lush. They've tried to get it home, but the rain has made it explode in their rucksack. A rucksack that will smell of lavender for the rest of their lives. This week, I'll be talking about love. One of the most joyous things in life, sure, but also one of the most stressful. Love comes at a close third place behind religion and land borders for the main causes of war. Worse, if anything, I'm pretty sure when Genghis Khan invaded a country, he didn't make everyone move their belongings out in bin bags while he changed his Netflix password. Ever tried giving flowers to someone and then found out they have extreme hay fever? Well, this radio show will aim to show you how to make a bouquet out of antihistamines instead. Also, on a separate note, it might feel romantic, but getting someone flowers that spell out their name should only be done when they have died. Or, early in your relationship, try and give your partner a pet name like Beloved Grandma. As well as working out why love is so stressful, I'll be trying to recreate the endorphin high of falling in love by visiting an ice bath retreat with my girlfriend, and then see if that will be followed by the endorphin high of trying to save our relationship. After two trains and a taxi, we arrived at the ice therapy retreat Eclosion, and I got to prove my girlfriend exists by putting her on the radio. I brought
my girlfriend, Becky.
Hello.
She's excited.
I actually am excited. I think this will be fun.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it because I think it's going to hurt.
But just think of how nice we'll feel afterwards, and we'll be so warm with big fluffy robes, and I think it'll be an experience that we'll remember.
Yeah, it seems to be the thing that we're most looking forward to is the robes.
So you can get robes.
I wish my producer had pointed out that we could have just bought robes before we'd gone into the middle of nowhere to intentionally freeze ourselves. But it was too late now, as we were being ushered into the venue by one of its founders, Hannah, who answered all of our questions.
Yeah. And when Ian and I go in the bath, will there be someone with us doing, like,
not
breathing?
In the bath,
no.
but Marcus will be here to talk you through it, to make sure that you focus on your breath, and he'll talk you through everything that you're going to be experiencing and make you basically feel like a nice warm hug. Right, let's get you changed.
Okay, yeah, let's go.
Whilst I was changing into my robe, the producer took the opportunity to talk to Becky behind my back.
What's it like to have a relationship with Ian?
It's very good. I'm aware he'll listen to this. Yeah. It's wholly positive.
Yeah.
We have a very healthy relationship where we support each other through hardship.
Ah, the encouraging delivery of a woman under no duress. Considering this was a feat of endurance,
I asked Hannah if people got competitive about what I was starting to call the big dunk.
Yes, we tried to discourage that one-upmanship, but often between couples, if one person's managed to do the 3 minutes, you almost can guarantee the other person will have to do the 3 minutes as well.
Yeah, I think I'd be sad if you did three and I did like 2 minutes 40. I think I'd be like depressed for a week.
I'd say there's been a lot of chat about me having a big game, and now I'm so worried that I'm going to find this awful.
It's worth pointing out that plunging yourself into an ice bath, much like urinating against an electric fence, is not without risks. We were doing this under controlled conditions, and the BBC had provided a friendly medic called Steve, but there was still a very large waiver to sign. I didn't look at it when I signed it, but ice baths may not be suitable for everyone. Cardiovascular, trigger symptoms, I'm just breezing through here, prolonged exposure, hypothermia, you assume full responsibility for your own health and well-being. So it's basically, if anything happens to me, no one can get prosecuted. And I've said yes to that. But the danger would be worth it, as according to my research, the ice bath experience comes with the promise of something beautiful.
So I was reading that sort of the endorphins and the serotonin that you get when you're sort of falling in love and first bonding with someone, that the kind of nearest thing to recreate something like that, other than cocaine, which Radio 4 won't provide, is this ice bath therapy.
There's definitely going to be good chemicals whirring around, for sure. And you're right, it's about the same serotonin levels that get released if you had cocaine, medically. So you're in for a treat.
We were then introduced to Marcus, who would be our guide for what I could only assume would be one of the worst experiences of my life.
Your body is going to react with a lot of stress. It's going to try and get you out, you know? Cortisol levels are going to go really high. Yeah. And you're basically just going to try and get out of the bath straight away. So you have to compete with that kind of shock factor. So just, it's all about your breath work. It's all about staying calm. You can kind of overcome everything through breathing.
Marcus guided us through breathing sessions that involved taking long, deep, controlled breaths, which would help us deal with the various, and I quote, walls of shock, a phrase I personally don't associate with relaxation. It's also worth mentioning that during this session, Steve the medic, the man responsible for our safety, sat on one end of a big bench, which then fully flipped over and fell on top of him like a cartoon character.
Backup medic for Steve the medic.
It didn't fill me with confidence. Love is famously very stressful. Before me and my girlfriend got together, I had a big breakup. Me and my ex had been together a long time. We'd been in a relationship for 9 years. Wow, yeah, that's a lot. That's a big breakup. Also, I'm only saying 9 to ease you in because it was actually 12. That's long, isn't it? That is long. Not as long as 13, which is what it was. Now, it was an amicable split. I only have one grievance from the relationship, and I'd like to talk about that now on Radio 4. For Christmas, I got a jumper from her mum and dad. It was £59. Very nice. Very generous. That's a pricey jumper. But then they said to me, we've got Dave the same jumper. Dave had been with my ex's sister for 7 months. Same jumper. What, 13 years, 7 months, same jumper? Thanks a lot, you've ruined Christmas. I don't think I'm overanalyzing this, but this is the maths of that. So you divide £59 by 13, you get £4.54. I know what you're thinking, he's only been with her 7 months. Yeah? So you divide £4.54 by 12, times that by 7, you got £2.57. That is how much his jumper should have cost. And tell me if I'm overthinking this, but... but I looked around the shops to see if you can get a jumper for £2.57, and you can't. What I had to do, I went to a charity shop, I found a jumper for £3, and I haggled them down. I didn't feel good about doing that, but that's the difference here. I should have got a £59 jumper, he should have got a £2.57 jumper with a little note in it saying, you've done cancer research out of 35p. Or get me a jumper that costs £1,534. I was much less confident as a newly single adult. You know, the dating world is so different now. It's toxic. I don't know if you've heard of negging. It's insulting or undermining someone to lower their confidence. I mean, you idiots probably don't know what I'm talking about. I didn't know what single life was going to be like.
I've never taken a dick pic because I've only just realised my iPhone has the panoramic mode. If I'm being honest, if I took a panoramic image of my penis, I reckon the first 10% is penis, then it's just other things in the landscape at the time. Just going, right, OK, that's the penis done, keep it steady. Keep it within the lines, what else have we got? Table and chairs, send it off. Keep going. What else? No, mum and dad looking annoyed, fine. Now, if you're stressed about finding love, I can help. The psychologist, Dr. Arthur Aaron, came up with a list of questions to help people fall in love. The aim, to speed up the creation of intimacy between two strangers. Dr. Aaron carried out the test by uniting a heterosexual man and woman together and presenting them with a list of 36 questions, followed by 4 minutes of sustained eye contact, and that couple eventually got married. So, I would now like to select someone from the audience and see if I can make them fall in love with me. Now, obviously, we don't have long, so we're going to try and see how much we can get through in a few minutes. So is there any... would you mind coming up on stage? So, thank you very much for joining me. What's your name?
Kat.
So the first question on the list, given the choice of anyone in the world, dead or alive, who would you want as a dinner guest?
Probably George Washington.
George Washington. And would you like him to be dead or alive?
Preferably alive.
Preferably alive. What? Why George Washington?
I did historical reenactments back home, and I would want to see just how accurate they were with, like, the crossing the Delaware and stuff.
So you'd have like the dinner party, and then you'd be like, George, come outside, have a look at this. You and your mates all start doing it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do you think he'd enjoy that, or would that be like...
PTSD.
I've just come back from the dead. I just want to chill out. And then you're like, BAM! It's happening again! My Daniel Bedingfield, alive. We probably don't have time to do 35 more questions. So just to try and get the experiment, I'll just go through my answers very quickly for you.
All right.
Daniel Bedingfield alive. Yes, yes. Anxiety. Bacon sandwich. Yesterday, the mind of a 30-year-old. No. Head, legs, shoes. The music of Daniel Bedingfield. More trampolines. No. The ability to freeze time. Yes. Skydiving. Radio 4 series. Mutual enthusiasm. Seeing Daniel Bedingfield alive. I wet myself because I missed the bus. Metal body armour. Yes, no. Their temperatures depend on the time of year. Fantastic. We're both in this room. A goo pudding. Yes, slow-cooked lamb. No, yes. I vomited on a cash machine. on a plane. Sometimes, no. I'm not quite sure. Probably on my laptop. 14. Daniel Bedingfield. Quickly look in my eyes. Okay, yeah. And how would you say, no pressure, how do you feel about me?
Hello.
Just for the radio there, she did an uninterested shrug. Okay, well, that hasn't really worked, but thank you very much for joining me. That's a round of applause, please. So, that didn't really work, but luckily, I've got a girlfriend now, and we're expecting our first child. In about 5 or 6 years. We met on National Heimlich Manoeuvre Day. Like, not intentionally. We weren't celebrating. We weren't like, we've got to do something for National Heimlich Manoeuvre Day. Go to a restaurant, barely chew. We went through that phase that all new couples go through when you're holding your farts to a degree that is medically dangerous. I remember spending 3 days in a row with my girlfriend early on into our relationship. Other plans got cancelled. We just had this really nice long weekend together. But when she left the house, I was like, I feel awful. I don't know what is wrong with me. And I realised I had not been to the toilet at all for 3 days. When you fall in love, your mind changes. You become misty-eyed and grandiose. Everything becomes an artefact in a museum of your love. You look at a shirt and think, ah, oh, that was the shirt I wore on our first date. But it's also the shirt you wore when you had a rectal exam. The one you needed after holding your farts in for an entire bank holiday weekend. And we're often forced into expressions of love by Valentine's Day. I don't like Valentine's Day at all. You have to buy a card, and some of those cards have the most disgusting, long, poetic messages written on them. And whenever I see them, I think, don't tell me how to express my love. You think you can tell my girlfriend how much I love them? But then on the flip side, I see a card that's completely blank inside, and I think, what the hell am I supposed to put there? The worst thing a man can do is an acrostic poem. You get the letters of someone's name and you write them in a line, starting with each letter. It's got to be the worst and most vulnerable form of expression a man can attempt. Like, Jessica, J is for jam. And you are as sweet as jam. E is for ecstatic, every time I see you. S is for sexy. And so is the second S. But when two people are in love, I think that's when the stress really starts. You have to maintain the relationship, you have to keep things working, you have to meet the parents, moving in together, kids, trying not to accidentally shout your own name out in bed. It's constant stress. There's lots of opinions out there about the keys to a good relationship. One website talks about the five C's: communication, commitment, compassion, compatibility, chemistry, and counting. Listening, that's very important. Everyone says listening is key to a healthy relationship. My partner was saying something about her work yesterday. She either works at the library or maybe a car park attendant or something. But anyway, something had made her feel either happy or sad. And I just said, oh yeah, okay. And it's just about making her feel heard. I've met her parents, they're very nice. Also, I've got the same name as her dad, the two Ians, which I do think helps break the ice. It's funny. I don't care what sort of comedy you like, it's good, innocent fun. Can you get some cutlery, Ian? I don't know where you keep the cutlery. Ah, no, the other Ian! It's good fun. So what do you do for a living, Ian? How can you not know that? We've been married 40 years. Yes! It works both ways. We've moved in together now. Me and Becky, that is, not me and Ian. Moving in with someone's a big deal. The house we live in is stressful. It's in between two postcodes, and delivery drivers never seem to know where it is, so we have to use this thing called What Free Words. You pinpoint your location, generates three random words, then delivery drivers can put them into the app. They know where your place is. But it's ruined it for us, because the three words it's generated for our house are paedophile lives here. That's made it worse. There was a lot of problems with our house when we moved in. A leak in the ceiling on day one. Someone had replaced all the door handles with ones that were so big you could no longer shut the doors. I wish that was a weird joke that I'd written. That's just what our house is. There was also two windows that we could not close because the wood had swollen, and we were told by the letting agency, well, some people keep windows in the kitchen and bathroom open all the time. Great, yeah, thank you. How stupid of us to even suggest that we would like the option of shutting a window. But I love living with my girlfriend. My old flatmate was weird. He's 35 years old, and he'd still draw a line on his milk in marker pen to know where the level was. I think that's unacceptable. So what I do is I buy my own milk and I top his milk up just above the line. Just messing with his head. I've seen him Google, can milk expand? We live in London, which is a stressful place to live, but I think the most stressed out person in the world lives in our area of London. I don't know his name, but he does all the announcements at the train station. Most stressed out man I've ever heard in my life, and they've put him in charge of the tannoy. Every single announcement done by this man starts with the noise, "Aah!" So already you're like, I don't think this is going to be a good announcement. It's just him screaming, going, right, everyone on platform one, listen up. You're not going to like this. Your train's coming, don't worry, it's not that bad. But it's not coming where you think it's coming. He's coming on a different platform. Get running! Get running to the bridges right now! If you get the next train on platform one, you're going to go to Chislehurst. You're not wanting to go to Chislehurst. Well, I say that there will be some people on platform one thinking, I do want to go to Chislehurst. That's the next train on platform one. There's no trouble with the Chislehurst train. Ignore this announcement and stay where you are if you're going to Chislehurst. But the passengers for London Bridge, okay, has just left platform three. Sorry. And we're not going to be living in this flat forever, but the area is really nice. Like, the dream would be to get a big house and a dog. If I get a dog, I'm going to call our dog, I wish I had a dog. All one word, because then, if it runs off in the park, I get to go, I wish I had a dog! I wish I had a dog! And when it turns up, people will be like, wow! And we're in a local pub with a friend of ours. They've got a little dog, and it was running around the pub saying hello to people. And it went near this one old guy, and she said, just out of politeness, I hope my dog's not bothering you. And he said to that innocent question, oh, no, no. I've got two things I like in life. Little dogs like this that I can scratch, and women that wear boots that go above the knee. Where the hell has that come from? That's like me seeing an Alsatian in the street and going, oh, I love Alsatians, me. Oh, come here. If there's two things I love, it's Alsatians and watching my neighbours get changed from across the road. Yeah. That's what I love. I get in my room, lights off, curtain wrapped round my head. Binoculars poking through. I don't need to tell you what else is poking through, do I? Oh, no, no, no. We've all got a favourite dog and we've all got a sexual fetish and we're going to go around the room one by one. We're all different, though, I suppose. We all love different things. And I shouldn't just be talking about romantic love. Some people love their pets more than people. I think some people love their pets too much. There's a thing I saw on Amazon. It's called the PDX Pet Design Licky Your Cat Brush. So it's a brush for your cat, but you hold it in your mouth and it looks like a tongue and it's supposed to help you bond with your pet. Yeah, I agree with you all, actually. There's a Q&A for the company and one of the questions is, describe your product in three words. Their three words, lick your cat. The blurb says, soothe yourself. Licking your cat is an oddly meditative practice. Soothing for you and kitty. Oddly is the key word there. It is odd. Bond with your fur baby by communicating in their love language, which is one of the worst sentences I've ever read. It ends with, now available in glow in the dark. I think if you want to brush your cat with a massive tongue, that's one thing. But if you're doing it without the lights on, that's weird. Why are you sneaking up on it? And it's got some one-star reviews, obviously. One of them, I got this as a gag gift for a friend and her cat attacked her face and now she has horrible scratches. Another one, if you have licked or are currently licking your cat, you are a freak. I bought this for my girlfriend as a gag gift, expecting it to be thrown away. She used it, I left her. But a lot of mine and my partner's time is now spent on property websites, looking at places we could buy, crucially, if we had more money. Apparently 35% of adults search on a property website just for fun, sometimes for hours at a time. But there's an addictive element to looking at houses you can't afford. It's daydreaming. I've done it, sat looking at a property website, searching for a £1 million property that I cannot overstate is out of my price range by roughly 950,000, give or take 50,000. And by give or take, I mean take. because I want the best for her and I want the best for us. So your stress doubles because you have someone in your life that you care about. Their stresses become your stresses become theirs, which is why it's more important than ever to tackle your own stress. And that's why I find myself in the middle of a forest, naked as the day I was born. Crucially, I was born with swimming trunks on. Ready to take the plunge in an ice bath.
Bath time was approaching. I was nervous, but luckily Becky and I were in it together. Or so I thought.
Are you feeling okay?
Me?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you feeling okay?
I'm feeling okay. And you might want to note on the recording that Becky didn't ask me how I was feeling, but I was immediately caring and considerate as a boyfriend. I'm just in my trunks now. I'm trying to get a bit of residual leaves off my... I'm trying to think how I just dunk myself in. Think to get my hands like that and sort of hover.
Don't overthink it.
No one's thought this hard about how you get in a bath.
Yeah.
The first prerequisite of the ice bath is you'll get in.
Yeah.
When you're in, we can talk. But
okay, here we go. It's the big dunk. 3, 2, 1. Sugar my plums, it was cold. When we first came up with the idea, I thought I'd be quipping my way through this experience, but as soon as my pathetic body hit the cold water, all comedic ability left my brain, and I focused on your friend and mine, breathing. And Marcus was right. After the initial wall of shock was passed, there was a sense of serenity, a higher realm of calm, which lasted about another minute, and then I was just cold and ready to get out. But the goal was 3 minutes, and me and Becky were in this together, so I powered through, like a millennial Captain Tom.
Yeah, I mentally feel calm. My body is just like... Blah, blah, blah.
As I pour ice in.
Yeah, get some more ice in there, absolutely. Are you okay, Becky?
Yeah, I'm finding it hard. The minute I don't concentrate on the breath, I think is when it's hard.
I was proud to reach the 3 minute mark and push myself in this way. And then Becky stayed in for another full minute after me, which I'm absolutely fine with.
Don't stay in for too long as well.
Yeah. Yay!
I felt like I could have done a bit longer, but 4 minutes
is
very
impressive.
Yeah,
you felt like it, but you didn't do it. Yeah.
This is going to ruin our relationship.
Whether you're single or in a deeply committed romantic relationship, love will always stress you out. The only way to deal with it is to exile yourself on a remote farm, live off the land and build an electric fence so that no one else can come near you to potentially fall in love with. And don't get takeaway either, because it's already very easy to fall in love with anyone carrying a pizza. I've also learned that sitting in an ice bath for 3 minutes makes you feel incredible. But if you give someone a jumper to warm up, make sure the price reflects how long you've known them. So I've still got work to do. Join me next week as my search for relaxation continues.
You've been listening to Ian Smith is Stressed, written and performed by Ian Smith, with additional material from Rhiannon Shaw and Max Davis. The producers were Benjamin Sutton and Laura Shaw. It was a Daddy Soupio production for BBC Radio 4.
And as Ian mentioned, he'll be back again next Wednesday at 6:30 for the final stress-filled episode of this series.
Whether it leaves your dishes gleaming,
if it smells clean or looks clean, people think it's clean,
keeps your coffee steaming,
nope,
way too hot for me to consider sipping at the moment,
or does whatever this is doing,
whew, that one's really going for it.
I'll be investigating a new selection of Wonder products to find out if they really are the best things since sliced bread.
You get enough advertising and people tell you that this is the next best thing to sliced bread, it's gonna be the next best thing to sliced bread.
The new series of Sliced Bread with me, Greg Foote, Thursday lunchtimes at 12:30 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.